Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. He had the mark of the brown earth always on his boots. He had the spinning stars of the cosmos on his mind. He had the practical work of the National Alliance on his hands. His name was Fred Streed, and he has just left the world of the living. But his work and his words and his spirit live. More than any one man, he made the later works of Dr. William Luther Pierce possible. By taking over so many of the near overwhelming tasks of infrastructure building and maintenance for the Cosmotheist Church and the National Alliance that Dr. Pierce had taken on, he freed our founder for some of his best writings and broadcasts. I was proud to work with Fred Streed. As recently reported in the monthly National Alliance Bulletin, it's with regret that we report the passing of Fred Streed this month at his home in Klamath Falls, Oregon. He had called Chairman Williams from his hospital bed around the middle of February, telling him that the doctors had given him under a year to live. He died less than a week later, at the age of 74, having lived a full life, a dozen years of which were by Dr. William Pierce's side as his right-hand man, building and maintaining the infrastructure of our West Virginia campus from 1992 to 2003. Dr. Pierce named him president of the National Alliance's board of directors, as well as executor of his estate. William Pierce left his considerable estate to our alliance. Fred also represented the National Alliance for 18 years during the protracted fight with Jewish groups and the Canadian courts over the estate that our late member Dr. Robert McCorkle had bequeathed to us. Fred even invested his own funds at times to keep up our appeal of the adverse judgment of the corrupt court. Fred was a modest and unpretentious man, though one glance at his library shelf showed he was quite an intellectual. He styled himself the ditch digger, never shying away from the dirty work that was required to keep everything working, from electrical work, plumbing, construction, mechanical work, to, yes, ditch digging. He would read at least one book a week from Dr. Pierce's library. As Chairman William White Williams recently said in the bulletin, "I first met Fred Streed in 1992 when he joined Dr. Pierce's staff after having served 11 years as a firefighting crew leader with the U.S. Forest Service. The Alliance staff at that pivotal time was Dr. Pierce, Fred, Kevin Strom, and myself. Just before Fred was hired, Dr. Pierce showed me Fred's straightforward letter stating that he wanted to come work for the Alliance's national office. He asked me, "How much should we pay him?" I replied, "The same as you pay me, $900 a month." When Fred was told to expect that monthly salary, he said, "I don't need that much. $600 will do." That sums up selfless Fred. Here is the complete text of his Cosmotheist dialogue that was included in what is likely our most important book, Cosmotheism, Religion of the Future. A Cosmotheist Dialogue by Fred Streed. Question: why doesn't the National Alliance stick with Christianity and try to reform it? Answer. Superstition passed off as religion is not a real option. If it were reformed to the point where it did not violate the laws of nature or resort to spiritual terrorism, it would no longer be Christianity anyway. Christianity needs to be realistically scrutinized, not reformed. Question. My interest in cosmotheism, such as it is in understanding why Dr. Pierce believed it to be necessary. Answer. It is necessary because it is reality. It is necessary because whites have a strong need for purpose in life. That need gets subverted by superstitious claptrap like Christianity. Cosmotheism is an understanding that our lives are lived in this physical world, not some otherworldly pie-in-the-sky-when-you-die foolishness. Our one purpose is to advance life. Question. Cosmotheism is okay, but the name is ridiculous, Scientology-level ridiculous. But there's a lot of good stuff there. Answer. Dr. Pierce didn't invent the name. It was already in use. Call it pantheism or panentheism if it bothers you that much. Or invent a new name. It will still be cosmotheism by the accepted definition. Dr. Pierce also didn't invent most of the concepts embodied in it. It's more a discovery of what is true than an invention of anything. Some seem hell-bent on the idea that cosmotheism is some kind of cult religion. It's not. Some evidently understand neither what it is nor its purpose. Others, I suspect, deliberately pretend it is a cult of made-up hokum, like Scientology or Mormonism, because they have an agenda of their own. And that agenda isn't the preservation and advancement of the white race. Cosmotheism is defined, according to Webster's New International Dictionary, 2nd edition, 1934. Cosmotheism, ascription of divinity to the cosmos, identification of God with the world. Compare pantheism. Question. Strictly speaking, cosmotheism isn't a religion, in much the same way that Buddhism or ancestor worship, devoid of folk beliefs and the like, isn't a religion. Answer. I would disagree with you there. I would say cosmotheism is a true religion, and Christianity, Islam, and Judaism are not religions, but superstition operating under the cover of religion. I don't know how many times I have had some Christian tell me to look up on a starry night and then try to deny there is a God. Truth is, I do experience a religious feeling of awe when I look at the Milky Way and reflect on the vastness of the universe, the beauty, the grand scope of it all. But that doesn't make me think there has to be some Hebraic spook behind it all. There is an irony in a Christian tapping into a bit of genuine religion to justify his Bible-based nonsense. Cosmotheism is simply a religious worldview based on a scientific understanding of nature, at least to the extent we do understand reality. Scientific advances that alter our understanding of reality also help us achieve the one purpose of life, which is to advance to higher states of consciousness and understanding. That is what cosmotheism is. Contrast that with the dogma of the Christian churches, which resists changes in our understanding. Question: if you really want to find religious elements in the National Alliance, just look at the way Dr. Pierce is treated nowadays. He was probably the most significant person in American racial nationalist thought, and was a great leader, let's face it. Making intelligent and willful white folks pull together is about the hardest thing that a man can do. But where is the evolution of thought and of the movement that he started? It seems to have stopped when he died. Answer: nothing has stopped. His ideas are standing the test of time rather nicely. He is still widely read and quoted. His ideas still inspire. Question: where does the Jew fit into this cosmotheist worldview? Answer: life, at least life on this planet, as we all know, advances by becoming better adapted to its environment. It evolves new forms to take advantage of new or changed environments. Less adapted, less fit life forms cannot compete and are displaced and die out. Much environmental change has been random, a throw of the dice, if you will, yet has served well to challenge and advance life to ever higher states. The asteroid or comet that struck the Earth 65 million years ago and wiped out most of the then-existing species, including most or all of the dinosaurs, was one of those random events. That event opened up ecological niches that had once been occupied by dinosaurs and other now-extinct animals. These small, furry creatures, who were the ancestors of all of today's mammals, including us, were able to diversify and exploit those niches, something they could not do while they served as dinosaur food. There have been several of these extinction events in the half billion years or so since complex multicellular life began, the one that wiped out the dinosaurs being the most recent. The point of all that is that advancement in the complexity and fitness of life came about as a result of competition and the overcoming of adversity. That is where the Jew comes into the picture. The Jew is destruction incarnate. He is parasitism and degeneracy and chaos, toxic to all life. He is self-selected for this role. His purpose is to winnow the chaff from the grain, metaphorically speaking. The Jew brings rot and decadence. His personality is toxic. This shows in the Jew's preference for scatological humor, their championing of the sick, the weak, the base. But nowhere is it more clear than in their attacks on human sexuality, that most sacred of all our drives. The Jew poisons our reproductive urge with his promotion of homosexual sex, abortion, interracial sex, feminism, gay marriage, and endless further combinations of filth and degeneracy. He counters our art with anti-art. He counters our high culture with trash cinema and boob tube debauchery. He counters our sacred genome with the promotion of mixing with Congoids and mestizos. At some level, the Jew knows exactly what he is, subconsciously or consciously. That is why he is so extremely sensitive to any resistance to his destructiveness. It also explains his fascination with the Holocaust that didn't happen. He is obsessed with the idea that someday he will be called to account for his depredations. He knows that truth cannot be covered up indefinitely, and that justice cannot be evaded forever. The Jew, of course, springs from the same creator, universe, as we do. His purpose is to weed out the weak and degenerate among us. That doesn't mean he is not evil. If we understand evil to be anything that hinders the one purpose, which is ever higher levels of consciousness, then he is indeed evil. He is an integral part of a duality that is actually different manifestations of the one, which is the all. The Jew exists for us to defeat. If we do not defeat him, we will die, and in fact will have proved ourselves unworthy of life. To fail at that task will consign our race to the grave forever, and probably will mean the extinction of life on this planet. End of dialogue. As Chairman Williams recently wrote in the National Alliance Bulletin, some people resist the truths of cosmotheism. Perhaps they cannot get beyond the spiritual baggage of the religion in which they were raised. Perhaps they are not ready. Perhaps they don't fully understand. But this explanation by Fred Streed is so clear that it should be understood by nearly every thoughtful person with the intelligence to grasp what he is saying. That makes it extraordinarily valuable. It also provides talking points for Alliance activists as they explain the National Alliance's spiritual basis to potential recruits. Together with Dr. Pierce's and Kevin Strom's writings on cosmotheism, I believe that a cosmotheist dialogue will stand the test of time.